We're going to go on with part two. Remember I said I'm going to leave you hanging, and I left you hanging last week. So I'll cut the rope this night today so I won't leave you hanging, so you can catch your breath. We're going to talk about tithes and offerings and missions this morning before I get into the Word. So Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving this morning. And it is an absolute privilege to come and give to your kingdom. God, you've asked for 10%. You could have asked for 90%. You could have asked for 100%. But Lord, you entrust us with the rest. So God, we ask you to bless that which is given and bless the giver. And above all, let it see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see the name of Jesus exalted in this hour like never before. So God, bless it and bless that which is given in Jesus' name. God bless you as you give this morning. Excuse me. Wow. Who's had a good week? Yes. A great week. Oh, we're great. You can pray for all of us at the end. Who's had a trying week? Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Things happen behind closed doors. Amen. God sometimes shuts the door on you, but sometimes you've got to shut the door yourself. Amen. What door he shuts, no man can open. But if I give room for the enemy and keep jarring a door open, he'll take room. Amen. It says in Luke 8, verse 51 to 54, it says, when he came to the house, this is the young girl that died, Jairus' daughter actually, came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James and John. When there's an issue, you should be selective who comes into your house. You need to make sure who's coming into your house, if there's an issue in the house, that they're going to speak life. Amen. So Peter, James and John went with him, and the father of the girl, of course. Now all wept and mourned for her, the crowd. But he said, Jesus, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. Isn't it amazing what faith can speak? She is not dead, but sleeping. Ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead, but he put them all outside. In other words, he shut the door on negativity. He shut the door on the lack of faith. He asked them voices to get out of the house, and he closed the door. Amen. You have to be selective who you allow in your house. And I'm not just talking about your physical house. I'm talking about speaking to this house. Amen. You've got to be aware who is speaking to my house. All right. But he put them all outside and took her by the hand and called her, saying, little girl, arise. And guess what? When Jesus says something, it happens. She arose. Right? He called those things that are not as though they were, and she came alive. Matthew 6 and 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, you've got to do the shutting. You've got to set yourself aside, certain time aside, shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. 2 Kings 4 and 4 says, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind your sons and then pour into all the vessels and set aside the full ones. This was the widow. This was the widow that Elijah says, go and gather all the jars and get as many as you can. And she brought them in the house. But if she left the door open, the jars would never have been filled. She had to close the door on the negativity and that which was happening on the outside so God could move on the inside. Sometimes in life, we've got to shut the door to the things that are happening on the outside. I'm talking about maybe the ear, the door gate. Maybe it's what I'm seeing, what I'm beholding. Sometimes you've got to shut the door. You can't afford the world and its influence to dictate to me what's happening. What's happening is what the word of the Lord says and what's he saying. Everything aligned to what he says. I don't care what is happening. His word is above every other word. His word is above every other situation. He is in command. Amen. And everything will align to what he says. John 20:19, it says, the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. They were assembled, and we spoke a little bit about this last week, for the fear of the Jews. They were assembled because they had a fear. Amen. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. And the next verse actually says, and they didn't even get stirred. He's ministering peace, but their fear was so great that they couldn't receive. So therefore, Jesus had to show them the wounds. So he showed them his hands, it says. And they realized, and they said, they were what? They were glad. Because sometimes words need to be reinforced by signs. Sometimes people don't want to just hear what you're talking about. People want to see a demonstration of your life. Amen. And what he was showing them was, though I hung on a cross, the cross didn't hold on to me. Amen. Though I got wounded and I was stripped and I died, death couldn't hold me. I got up. And sometimes people need to see resurrection life in people to have in the midst of their dilemma. They just don't want to hear a word out of you. They want to see Jesus demonstrated in your life. Amen. And so sometimes, even though you say, I'm he, and I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is on the scene. He actually walked through a door. He walks through and says, hey, peace be to you. Didn't flinch. And that's what the problem with fear. See, flesh to flesh will always produce fear. But when spirit meets flesh, fear has to leave. Amen? Fear must bow its knee. So therefore, God is expecting a people to have a demonstration and not just speak, but to demonstrate the life spirit in your life. And sometimes through your wound, and sometimes through you hanging on your own cross, it will give people hope in the midst of their cross. Amen? Because they need to see a life saying, hey, crucify this part of my life, but guess what? He didn't leave me hanging on a cross. I got off my cross. And guess what? I've got wounds to show it. But I'm living in resurrection life now. I know that he supplies. I know that he delivers. I know that's free. And if he set it free to me, he's no respecter of persons. He will set you free. Amen? Are you with me? So one must learn to shut the door. One must learn to shut the door. Shut the door to your past. Shut that thing. Stop bringing up same old, same old. We just heard during the week, wasn't it? Someone brought up a situation from 40 years ago. I'm serious. 40 years ago. She said to her husband, I've realized you weren't telling the lie. 40 years later. She was holding something for 40 years. And guess what happened? Root of bitterness, division, caused divorce. Because she believed a lie for 40 years. And that's exactly what it is, Noel. She wasted life. The most precious gift you've got is life. Amen? And the devil will want you to make you camp around to waste life. One must learn to shut the door to the voices of criticism, to enable one to hear the clarity of the Lord's voice. Hear the Lord's voice. To allow God to shut the door to whatever he wants to shut. I've got to shut doors, and you've got to allow then God to shut some doors in your life. Amen? Can I be really frank and honest? Sometimes the door is heavy for me. I need the power of God to overcome that area of my life. Sometimes the door is just too big. I need God to shut the door. Amen. And when he comes around your life, and if you want to become a son of God, he will enforce things in your life where he will say, this needs to be shut. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible doesn't say all things have passed away. It says old things have passed away. Not all things. Old things. But if they're still current in your life, they're not old. Keep them things current in your spirit and in your life. They are not old, therefore they have not passed away. The only time they pass away is when I make them old. It doesn't say all things. It says things. Are you with me? Where's my book? Over here. I'm a wanderer. So real development of my walk is always doors. Always. The real development of my spiritual walk is behind closed doors. Amen. Learning to walk in obedience to my Father's will, dealing with my pain, my wounds, coming out behind his doors with an aroma of life that is pleasing to him. He'll get me in behind a closed door so the aroma of life will come forth out of me. So when I come out into the world and when I'm mixing with from the inside to the outside, people will experience a life in me being with him. And because I've been dealing with him, guess what? He's a gentleman and he loves me and he deals with me lovingly. Even sometimes as that father with a strong hand, but it's all towards my good. And when I come out and smelling like an aroma of the things of God, guess what? It's catchy. It's catchy. You catch things in the spirit. People start to see the life of Christ within you. Christ in you, the hope of. They're starting to see. They're not. And I'm going to be real. I know this church. I think the world is sick and tired of hearing sermons. They want to see a demonstration of God. They want to see a manifestation of God's life. If you believe it, is there change? If you believe it, has it affected you to a point where you have changed? That's what God is looking for. That's what the world is looking for. They can go in for a good sermon. YouTube has got many of them. You can get a good sermon at football. Depends on what the topic is, but there's some very enthusiastic preaching. Miracles are made in the private. He had to get Joseph alone. And you look at Joseph's life, you think that is so unfair what he had to go through. So unfair what he had to experience. Rejected by his 11 brothers. Went into Potiphar's house for years. Trying to be seduced and holding his character and his integrity all the time. In the midst of all what was happening, he then got thrown into prison because he was something he hadn't even done. Anyone ever experienced that? Went into prison for years, looking for a way of escape. Then all of a sudden he came to a conclusion. God has to make the way. Promoted. Others came to see him. And he said this. This was the work of the Lord. And God got me here for a reason. Amen. Because no matter what you've gone through, when you know the process of God to bring change to your life, you will celebrate good in the bad and in the ugly. You will keep celebrating him no matter what the season you're in, because you should know as a son that he is in total control. So if I'm going through my it's and if I'm going through my, I'm going through the dilemma of life, your God is still in control. I believe that. I believe that with all my... If he's not in control, he's not God. He had to get Jacob alone. Jacob had to wrestle with identity. Liar, cheat, supplanter to a prince of God. Jonah here got alone because he didn't want to do what God told him to do. He got Jonah alone. He got him in a boat. They tried to protect him. They had to throw him out. A big fish swallowed him, then spewed him out. Then he did what he had to do. Amen? And the reason he was upset was because he had to go to a place called Nineveh, which was the enemy of Israel. And he had to bless them. Footnote, hint. You'll be taken to the depths of things in your life. If there's any hatred, if there's any unforgiveness in your life, he will take it to the depths and he will allow you to be spewed out till you get the right attitude in life. You have no right to hold unforgiveness. Hear me, you have no right. It's not a right, it's not a privilege to hold unforgiveness. You've got no right to it. That is the power of the cross. As you have been forgiven, forgive. So if your forgiveness is measured by, well, he loves me this much, that's how much you love. Jacob, he had to get alone. Jonah had to get alone. Woman, he had to get alone. He had to get Elijah alone. And he had to get Jesus alone. And I'm going to give you a revelation this morning. He will get you alone. He will. Being alone with God? Yes. He'll deal with the issues as a father to his children because he wants to get out of you what he's placed in you. And he'll do it privately, initially. I'll say that word again, initially. But if there's a rebellious spirit within me, he will deal with that rebellion publicly. I'm saying that in love because the reality is he's doing that to save your soul. He would rather embarrass you than lose you. Anyone ever been embarrassed by the Lord? Don't have to hold your head. You got Jesus alone, he'll get you alone. To conform you to a pattern, all behind their closed doors. In the private place, so he can move you to an open place regardless of people's opinions. And all men that had to deal with opinions of people, that had to deal with who they were in Christ, they had to deal with issues of unfairness, unjustness, blame, hatred, anger. They experienced here, all of them experienced everything of that. And they came forth with an aroma of God that changed nations, changed cities, turned their world upside down, and brought deliverance to a people. Is that your heart here this morning? To see the captive set free? To see the world touched for Jesus? To see the lost and broken healed? My heart, he needs to get me healed first. He needs to deal with the me in me. Amen. The enemy. The enemy. He needs to deal with the enemy in me so he can deal with the situations in my life that I release a fragrance of Christ. Amen. To one, I'm the aroma of life. To the other, I'm the aroma of death. I'm not in charge of how they smell. I'm just in charge of releasing the aroma. Praise the Lord. We won't go any further than that. So he'll get you alone to conform you to a pattern. He'll find enough to transition you from where you're at to where he desires you to be. There's a woman in Luke chapter 8, and she pushed through a crowd. In fact, it says she pushed through the throng, then through the crowd. And then Jesus shouted something out. Who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples were confused because of this crowd around them. But they weren't touching him. They weren't touching him the way he was being touched. Because there was a word that was used in the old King James, I like it. It says, virtue flowed out of him. And the new King James has made it power. But it's more than power. And there's a lot more than power. It means life force. It means spirit. And where the spirit is, there is power. It means that a deposit of himself left him. And he knew it. He knew it had left him because someone had touched him in a way that no one touched him. Amen? And so therefore this woman transitioned. She had a problem. She had an issue in Luke chapter 8. With just like Jairus' daughter, they both had an issue that was 12. The daughter was 12 years old. She had a flow of blood for 12 years old. 12 years. Not 12 years old. 12 years. Both had an issue for 12 years. One died. She needed a touch. One was alive. She needed to reach out to touch him. The world needs Jesus to touch them. The world, the dead. The dead need the word, the Jesus to touch them. But the living, hello church, the living need to reach out to touch him. And we touch him in our worship. We touch him in our praise. him in adoration. And so many of the church are waiting for Jesus to touch them. Yet all the time you just got to press through the throng and press through the crowd and press through by faith and say, I've got to get to the hem of the garment, that there's a flow. If you're prepared to push, if you're prepared to get through, there is a flow of virtue for your life. Do you hear me? The young girl had no choice. She was dead. The world have got no option. They need Jesus to visit them. But the living, a lot of the times the living are sitting on their pew and saying, come Lord Jesus, come. Instead of getting a bit of a prayer life, instead of getting a little bit of worship around their spirit man, instead of pushing through the situations and circumstances and giving them praise in season, out of season, up, down, worshiping him in spirit, worshiping him in truth, and pressing through the crowd of these. Because the world, I'm telling you, not even the world, some of the church give you noise. I'm serious. Some of the world, the church gives you noise. You've got to press through the noise so you can touch the hem of his garment. She had to press against what the world was saying. She had to press against what people thought about her. She was unclean, and everything she touched was unclean. Every time she brushed herself against a man or a woman, they were unclean. They had to wash their clothes. They had to be isolated and separated. She was defiling the crowd. But she had come to the end of herself. She had come to that place where no one else could help her. She had spent everything. 12 years spending everything within her power to get what she needed. She was losing life. Leviticus 17:11 says this, life, blood. She was losing life and no one could help her. May I say this, if you have an issue that's causing you loss, we can only direct you to him who can heal your loss, and his name is Jesus. But you can spend years seeking the answer from people and you will never find it, because you will eventually come to the end of yourself and you will realize you have to press in. You have to start to worship him. You have to break through new ground. You've got to get another level of faith and touch the hem of the garment that virtue might flow. Life. Life. And with his life, there is always a release of power. Are you with me? This same Jesus touched her, delivered her. I need to dare to push. I need to dare to get beyond the thronging, beyond the crowd. I've got to meet with Jesus. I need Jesus. I've got to have a touch from Jesus. Anyone here this morning that needs a touch? Your faith and your willingness to push through will cause a virtue to flow, spirit life, to flow through to your life, and it will transform you, and it's going to equip you and change you, and it will challenge you to come up to another level in the spirit. He won't leave you as you are. He's equipping you for another level in the spirit. So sometimes when you feel, sometimes when the dealings of God are around you, know this, it is for your good. Can you praise him when the door is shut? Can you thank him when you're shut? Not just in the open, not just in the crowd, not just in the thronging about him. Can you worship him in the closed room by yourself? Because that's what it's going to take. Loving on him, thanking him, worshiping him. When you either feel him or you don't, he's there. Amen. You read in the book of Genesis chapter 12 where Abraham was commanded by God to come out from the Ur of Chaldees. He says, come out and I will show you a land. Remember that? So God was going before him to show him a land. Abram at that time was following him. Amen. Chapter 18, I can't remember which one. It says this. Now go before me and I will direct you. Because there is a maturing in the spirit where he no longer leads you, but he expects you to walk by faith. And he will direct your paths. Is that what the Bible says? And he will use the goad to direct, keep directing your path till you get into where He has designed you to get into. And sometimes in that place of transition, and hear Him. Sometimes in that place of transition, you're not experiencing Him. Sometimes in that place of transition, you're no longer being feeling of Him. And all the time, He's changing you from child, babe, child, to a son. Babe, child, to a son. He wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to have so much security that He's got your back, that you trust Him. He wants you to walk by so much faith that even if you step out and it's wrong, He'll redirect you. He just wants you to take a step. And so often Christians stop. They stop. Oh God, where? What next, God? Just move and He will direct your paths. But you have to be walking on the path. Amen? Where's my book? Okay. So He'll get you alone. Separated enough so you can't lean on people. If you ever fall in the trap of leaning on people for your strength, He will remove that which you're leaning on. He'll remove it. Because He wants you to lean on no one but. He'll remove you far enough to, so you can't lean. But He'll remain close enough so you can lean on Him. He separates me to develop a strength of faith and the courage to cause a transition. Who wants a transition in their life? And it's from these times where God is shaping and developing you in your transition. You become from babe, child to son, or believer, follower to a disciple. Three levels of walk. I haven't got time to go into every one of them. Three levels of walk. You can say you're babe all your life. If you're sure, you can suck on the bottle all your days. You can drink the milk all your life and you won't grow. You will get to heaven, but you won't grow. You can stay a child and be under governors all the days of your life. Tell me what to do, tell me how to do it, and I'll just do it. Or you can be a son that is directed by the Father, that picks up the will of God at whatever the cost and say, Lord, I'm here for You. Jesus said this in the book of John, I think it is, John 15 or 14. He says this, if you obey my commands, 15, if you obey my commandments, see obedience, sonship, if you obey my commandments, you're no longer a servant, but a friend. There is a level of revelation in sonship that you will not get out of childhood. Because He says this, there are certain things that I say to my friends, but not my servants. Isn't that what He says? Is it up there? Have I got it? You are my friends, and whatever you do, I command obedience. Not do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. But a friend is one who is obedient to his what? Commandments. That's standing and walking. It's a sonship. He's standing and walking in obedience. But if you want to say a servant, if you want to say a child, you will not get the revelation that a son will get. You just won't. He will not reveal the things. You can't trust a babe. A son develops rapport. And all the time in the midst of my battle, I trust. And guess what? He's learning to trust me. And in that trust, there's another level of intimacy. Another level of intimacy. I would not give car keys to a 5-year-old child. I would not give my car keys to a 13-year-old child. In fact, I probably wouldn't give them to a 17-year-old child. They have to earn that. I've got to learn to trust them. I've got to see some area of responsibility in their life that they're not just going to go around in my car. Your Father in heaven is saying the same. Has he got enough in him? Just like he said to Abraham, remember that, the three of them? Shall we tell him everything we're about to do? He said that. Shall we tell him? And guess what? Because of the relationship Abraham had, God showed him what he was about to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was known as a friend of God. Your friendship, your relationship with the Lord. You want to? We sung a song this morning, didn't we? More of you. Who wants more? May I tell you the cost? Obedience. Obedience. Don't get me wrong. He loves me. He'll care for me. He woos me. But he cannot, he will never enforce his will or impose his will upon me. He wants a yielded servant. Amen. And that's what a son is. He comes from servanthood to become a friend of God. Anyone want to be a friend of God here this morning? Disciples, disciplined one. That's what the word means. Disciplined one. One who's formed and fashioned after his master. Formed and fashioned after his master. A disciplined one. Disciple, one who's disciplined by the word, obedient to the master's voice. Disciple, one who comes to another level of relationship. Friend of God, who hears the mysteries of God. One who hears the mysteries of God. One who hears things that others don't hear. Does anyone want that for their life? I want a John experience. I want to be able to lie upon his bosom to hear the heartbeat of God. I want to be so close to him that I'm naked yet unashamed. Bare. Not having to cover nothing in my life. Yet to hear the heartbeat of God. Naked and unashamed. So comfortable with my master. So in tune with his heartbeat. That's his sons. The world is looking and waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. The world is looking and waiting for this manifestation to happen, that we might show forth the hope of glory. They don't just want to hear a word. They want to see the marks of your cross on your life. They want to see the Christ come forth. They want to behold a red life in your life. They don't want to hear Jesus is good and Jesus will do it. Jesus will pay all your bills and Jesus will make sure you've got a nice car. They don't need to hear that. In fact, it's a lie. They don't even hear that. They need to hear this. Survivor. I went through hell and guess what? He met me there and he pulled me out. Guess what? It was so dark I couldn't see. Yet he shone a light on my path to get me out of where I've got. Guess what? When I was unlovely, he kept on loving me. They need to see the resurrection life within you and I. For they overcome the world, overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That is your testimony. That is the power of God. That is the power of God in your life. That God brought you out, hung you on a cross. You died to something because you wanted the more for him. You wanted more of him. And therefore he didn't leave you hanging on a cross. He pulled you down. Yes, you've got marks. Yes, you might have a stab wound. Yes, you might bear some stuff. But guess what? The pain of it's gone. For you're walking in a resurrection life. And the world wants to see the resurrection life in you, Christ, the hope of glory. Amen. Then we'll see the soul saved. Then we'll see the power of God move. Then we'll see revival. It's not going to be because of a great song service. It's not going to be because we have fancy lights. It's just the presence of God is in the house. Luke chapter 2 says the whole city was at the door because they heard Jesus was in the house. The whole city was in the door waiting to burst through because Jesus was in the house. We need him in the house. We need God to manifest himself in the sons of God like never before so the world can be saved from where it's at. We need a visitation. And guess what? He's going to use you to visit them. Come on now. Are you prepared to pick up the gospel? Are you prepared to pick up the challenge of a son? Are you prepared to say, Lord, whatever it costs me, I'll crucify that in my life. I know it might cost me. I know it might be painful, but Jesus, I trust you. And I know you won't leave me hanging. You won't leave me hanging. Amen. And when they see the word accompanying with the life, guess what? It will turn the city upside down. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:1-2 says this. It says, a child is no different, or a slave, actually says. Same word as servant. Right? But is under governors and tutors till an appointed time, until he comes of age. Even though he's a son, even though he's a child, even though he has all the inheritance ready for him, he is ready to bear the weight of responsibility. Amen. He's not ready to bear that weight of responsibility. But I want to tell you this morning, hear me. I believe the church is coming to an age and an hour right now that we're ready to receive that responsibility and walk out of here as sons and daughters of the Most High God with all authority and with all power. Hear me. The gifts are the power of God. Gifts are power. But authority is the right. You have been given right by God to command things to change in the spirit realm. The problem is we're so worried about the gifts and we're so worried about the falling of the power. Hear me, you've got to walk in the authority of heaven. You've got to walk in the authority. You will change your world by the authority of heaven. Glory to God. Sons of God, walk in the authority of heaven. And I know it's a messianic prophecy in Isaiah where it says, 54 I think it is, where it says, unto us, 11, is it? What does it say again? Unto us a child is given, and upon his shoulders shall be the government of God. On whose shoulders? The babes or the sons? On the sons. There's a different level of authority on sons. Who wants that for their life? Who wants to change their world? Who wants to influence their world? Who wants to see souls saved? See their world changed? Who wants to see the dead rise up? Glory to God. And may I a mild rebuke this morning. Children of God, stop waiting for something to fall out of heaven. Reach out. Push through. Break through new ground by faith. And reach out to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Grow up. Now I'll get back to my mild voice. Hallelujah. If you want the more, he's here to give you the more, but it will cost you. But I believe if we stay together in this, if I believe we come into the unity of the Spirit in this, there will be an anointed house. And when they hear that he's in the house, the whole city will be at the door. And I'm talking about every church now. The whole city will be at the door. I think Jesus is hungry for revival, hungry for the lost, hungry to see sons and daughters come back home, hungry to see the prodigals restored, hungry to let them walk in the fullness that he has for them, hungry. Amen. We need to get the same hunger. If that's you this morning, you just lift up your hands before the Lord. You lift up your hands, I want it. Jesus, I want everything. I'm going to be a glutton. Jesus, I want everything. And grace me, Father, for the ability to let things go. Grace me to cross. Help me not to get off my cross. Help me. Help me not to abandon the work of your Spirit. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Lord, we say we want more. God, we want more. Father, we repent if we've leaned upon anything that is not of you. If we've tried to draw strength from some things or someone that is not of you, we repent. We stop it now in the name of Jesus. And say, God, today you are my source. And I draw from you. Lord, the one who will never let me down. You are the one. And Father, this morning we bow our knee to you. And we surrender afresh to you. And Father, we say this morning, allow your Spirit to fan the flames of the coals of my heart, yeah. Cause the revival fire to burn within me, that the Christ in me, the hope of glory, might be seen in Jesus' name. If that's you, you tell him. Amen. The word amen means let it be so. Amen. He's raising up a body of believers, raising up his church. He's raising up his church to deal with the childish things. Amen. If you're touching something you shouldn't touch, stop it. If you're watching stuff you shouldn't watch, stop it. If you're delving into stuff you shouldn't be delving into, stop it. Like I said before, he will deal with you privately behind closed door. But if you do not deal with it, he will deal with it publicly. And if you don't believe me, just read James chapter 1 and 2. Sin has conceived. It brings forth what? Death. In a conception, there is a period of what? Gestation. Is that true? And so there's no showing at first. There's no showing at first because God's covering. Then all of a sudden a lump appears. And this is what we say. Something's not quite right with them. There's something a bit off. Are they okay? Because we know there's something not right, but there's no revealing yet. And if they allow that thing to keep growing, there's more of a showing. And then God will cause it suddenly to come upon them, and it will birth. And then we see it for what it is. But in all that period of gestation, it's called the dispensation of grace. Amen. But God is a God who will not be mocked. He won't. He won't be mocked. I know this might sound a bit hard, but hear me, as sons and daughters of God, I need to mature you. I need to give you truth. Your God and my God is not in the business of pacifying me to a fault. He will make me get rid of my dummy. He will make you spit it out to grow up. Amen. Are we good? Do you love me? Praise the Lord Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week. Wonderful week. Success. And remember, you've got to love me. It's your commandment.